We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the space we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We lift up all lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and questioning people. We lift up those without titles to their orientation, without boxes for their expressions. We welcome your authenticity and openness. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression. Our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, an embodied experience, and a product of de-ableing oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing Online. I'm Reverend Kim Wildschesky, minister of this congregation, and I'm so glad to welcome you into this time. If this is your first morning with us, a very special welcome to you. No matter how we gather, I know it's a brave thing to explore a community for the first time. I hope you will recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community, celebrate life, and change the world. If after this morning's service you'd like to know more, please fill out a digital visitor's card at the link provided in the chat so we can learn a bit about you and you can learn as much as you want about us. You'll also find a link to some weekly invitations for connection and learning. On Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we offer an informal program called Faith Forward, where members and friends and visitors alike connect by learning about one of our ministries. This week's presentation will be led by Robin Pugh, our Director of Faith Engagement. So if you have any questions or curiosities about how or what we offer our children, youth, or adults in terms of religious education, this is a great Tuesday to attend. Before we go further into our morning, I want to make sure to thank our tech hosts, Nancy Neff, MJ Hansen, and John Harvey, who are all behind the scenes but making our time today possible. I want to lift up MJ again, as well as Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides you see each week. And this week especially, I want to name Ed Dobrowski, as well as our amazing choir, who have all been working so hard to bring today's new music this Easter morning, of course, virtually. And so on that virtual note, I want to make space to name that this is now our second virtual Easter together. And markers like this can make us feel just how long we've been in the depths of this pandemic, in the cloak of loss. It is also, to me, an invitation to think about just how long resurrection takes, how the cicadas are returning after 17 years, how some seeds are so tightly compacted they need the destruction of a fire to open and sprout. The many deaths and losses we've grieved this year, they will take time to understand, to grieve, and to allow for new life after. So whatever arises for you today, I pray you are gentle on yourself and that this Easter Sunday draws you closer to a spirit of wonder. May you find companionship from this time. And if nothing else, a word, a silence, a note that speaks tenderly to your needs. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here.
Hallelujah. Once again. and the word comes true.
Each week, we light our chalice, a symbol of our faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today in homes and in virtual worship services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. If you have a chalice nearby, we invite you to light it with us. And if you are able, hold it up to your camera and switch to gallery view to see all of the chalices being lit today. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. As we continue to look at the light of our chalices, we pause for holy days on which we recall the old stories. For Passover, which reminds us of the courage and strength of those seeking freedom in the past. For Easter, which reminds us that love is our greatest challenge. For gathering today in this sacred space, for the opportunity to be together as a community, to remember the past, to plan for our future, to be alive in our present.
When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. It's so good to see you. I've got my peeps. And I am wondering how much chocolate the children have eaten this morning. I know this was one of my most energetic Sundays when we're back at church. So on Easter, we celebrate Jesus. So my story this morning is one of the stories Jesus told to people to teach them about love. When Jesus spoke to the people, it was often about how to share more love, more, and to forgive more, and to share more. He also talked about the great unfolding mystery of love. He called it God, the way many other people do. Sometimes people needed to understand his teachings, so he told stories to help them understand, and we call those stories parables. This is one of the parables that Jesus told his followers. It's about a shepherd. Okay, so our children might not know what a shepherd is. A shepherd is someone who cares for sheep and who makes sure they have enough to eat and that they're safe from predators, because sheep are actually very tasty to their predators. In the days when Jesus told this story, a shepherd wouldn't have had a fenced-in area for his sheep. Instead, he would walk his sheep out into the hills to find grass for them to eat. In this parable, The shepherd didn't have just one or four or 10 sheep. He had 100 sheep. So at the beginning of each day, the shepherd took all 100 sheep to the hills of green grass, and he counted them to make sure they were all there. At the end of the day, he brought them home again, counting again to make sure that 100 sheep had come home. So one night, the shepherd came home and he counted his sheep and he saw only 99 instead of 100. He counted again to make sure, and then again. And even though it was cold and dark and there were predators in the hills that might actually hurt the shepherd too, the shepherd left the 99 sheep who were safe at home and went out to find the lost sheep who was in danger. When Jesus told this parable to his followers, he was trying to tell them two things. First, that the great unfolding mystery that we call love and that some call God loves each of us so much that love will always, always go to those who are left behind or in danger. Second, we understand ourselves to be part of the great unfolding mystery called love. Most of us who are Unitarian Universalists want to be like that great unfolding mystery. We want to be love's partner and its helper. That means we are the shepherd when everyone else is safe. We're called to notice those who are in danger or need help. We go out into the cold and dark to be with them, insisting they are not alone. Love doesn't rest and wait. Love, in the form of the shepherd, goes to where love is needed. And that's our story today.
Go now in peace, may the spirit of love surround you.
Will you please join me in the spirit of prayer, meditation, or open-hearted contemplation? For many people around the world, this is a time of hope and remembrance, a week that has recalled slavery and despair. But this week, we lift our glasses for triumph. This is a morning that for many, we are called to consider how what has ceased could begin again, that what has died will live. We are asked to raise our hearts in joyful possibility. It is a hard week for some of us, when neither triumph nor resurrection will return us to how things were before. We know that the new life of spring is new. It's not last year's leaves. Those are over and done. And the way things were is finished. We are still searching for what else might be possible, what still deserves to be praised, what reaches with life for our attention. We take these stories today and let them stir in our hearts. Let them take up conversation with our spirit and our experiences, our cynicisms and our hopes. And we listen for truths that may call out for our attention. A man who united the oppressed by simple acts of story and bread. A teacher, a preacher, made criminal, not the first nor the last. His sacred texts and the cruelty of the human capacity, the grip of the powerful, all used to justify his death, his body broken, his loved ones' grief, a community's hope thinned. We think on those who still break bread of hope in quiet and dark places, who look at our America and see that ancient empire, whose suffering is given to the parts of our heart where stories are dismissed. Unbelievable, we say. Believe, they pray. Spirit of life, the world cries out for resurrection, for new life and life again. May we hear its plea and loosen our grip on the probable, the factual, the rational, and make of ourselves believers for joy tomorrow, if not today. Root has found root and sprung forth life from the hard ground. Who is to say we are so different? What is to say we cannot find one another under the hard surface of our doubting hearts and find one another again? Today, we do not lift up one man, but each and all who risk life to create life, who insist on power where it has been stripped, who comes to us of the flesh and leaves us aware of the spirit. Let us release the week that has passed, the stories of old that have stifled, the messiahs that were absent in our times of need, and now, in this brief hour together, come into only this moment. Breathe into only this moment. And continue in the miracle of life. As we sing together, may the stone of our hesitant hearts be rolled away. Forrest Church once wrote, "If I were only to come to church once a year, I would almost certainly choose Easter. Easter is a better choice than Christmas. Christmas doesn't have death in it, not at its very center anyway. And if you're going to go to church only rarely, church should have death in it. Christmas does have animals and presents and babies and stars," he says. "These are all splendid things. And Christmas has birth, but Easter has death and rebirth. Birth is essential, but for our spiritual journey, death and rebirth are far more consequential. Easter also has flowers, of course," he admits, "but flowers don't really have anything to do with Easter. They have to do with spring. I have nothing against flowers. They are as splendid as animals, presents, babies, and stars. But Easter is not about flowers. Yes, flowers are beautiful for a brief season and then languish and die, just like we do. But then they cast their seeds to the wind, seeds which crack open, springing new life from the husk of death. It's a pretty metaphor. There's only one problem with it. We are not flowers. And Easter is about us." Today, in many Unitarian Universalist churches, congregants will be hearing stories about all sorts of resurrection: perennial rebirth, elongated days, life alive in memory. A colleague of mine has moved Flower Communion to Easter each year just to avoid the biblical, pagan, and secular mashup of Easter Bunny meets vilified God meets forgotten prophet. I am not that minister, as you know. I have carried Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, in my heart for as long as I can remember. Those women sitting outside that tomb in the dark, waiting for the sunrise, step by step, climbing closer to grief as an act of resistance, as an act of honor, with salves and balms and cloths to dress the wounds of my heart. But I've jumped ahead a lot and quickly. So let's remember, or for some of us, let's introduce this story. Easter begins with the Jewish people who are ostracized, publicly shamed, and just generally held down by the Roman Empire. There is a king who comes to power in a time when kings are sons of God, specially chosen and therefore untouchable. But within this story, there is another story, one that's passed down through generations from father to son and mother to daughter in the fields and at the wash bins. It's said that there will be a child born who will become a man and who will bring this people freedom, who will be something other than what is and what has been. But that's not all. In this time, it's said that the man, the one told about for generations, that he's arrived into the city center, riding on a donkey with palms set down to make for a more gentle journey into what will surely be a harsh road. He is poor, and his skin is calloused and dark by his ancestry and the sun. People say he is the Son of God, though no one has ever dared to use such a title but for the kings. He claims that not Rome, but the people who gather in those quiet and darkened places will one day rule. And the people begin to listen. And the people, they begin to dream. And then they begin to organize. It's not hard to imagine. But here's the thing, the man's own friend, this guy by the name of Judas, he betrays him. It's a kiss that marks his fate, and he's taken away to be quieted and dismissed. I want you to think Martin and Malcolm, and think Sekou, and think Cornell. There's a trial, if you want to call it that. And then the punishment. It's public and cruel, the way every tree and auction block in our own North American Jerusalem would whisper its memories. He cries out in thirst, in prayer, and somehow with forgiveness. As the sun begins to set, Jesus, the man, the teacher, the God, his body is quickly taken to his tomb. The Sabbath begins at sundown, and his mourners will have to wait to bury him properly. So a stone closes the entrance and protects the teacher's body, the friend's body, the son's body, the beloved's body. What kind of story is this, you might be thinking, based almost entirely around the physical, the flesh, the candlelight, the food and drink, the body, the things we used to hold and the places we seek to be held, all things we know that are temporary, that die, that fail us, if we are lucky, over time. Who would have been so small-minded as to put the spark of divinity within such a temporary container? But here we are. Here it is that the Easter story begins, with Mary Magdalene and Mary, his mom, sitting outside that tomb in the dark. He couldn't blame us, could he, for dressing this day in bright colors and games for children, for lifting up warmer and longer days, for persistent stems that peek out of the cold and hard ground, rather than the cruelty of this, of his, of their, of our story? I don't blame us. But again, I'm not that minister. The day before my son died, but on the day we were told he would, someone texted me. It read, "Resurrection is possible." There was my two-year-old, filled with life hours earlier, his soft body, loud machines. In nearly every meaningful way, he was already gone and he wouldn't return to us. His resurrection was not possible. And I resent those words with a fire that I am sometimes afraid of. He deserved pastels and chocolates, flowers, and the ongoing discovery of how fragile flowers break through hard ground. It took me a long time. It took me time to face this morning, to fall back in love with this story that I'm offering to you today, rather than the pastels and the chocolates and the Easter bunny. It took me a long time to strip it of others' influence and abuse. And when I did, when I could, here's what I remembered. I've never really been concerned with whether or not Jesus rose again in body or spirit or memory. So much so that I'm not even going to finish that part of the story today. And not just to temper the still raging flame within me, but because it is only a small part of the miracle of Easter for me. Every year, Easter requires of us to have a long and ongoing conversation with grief. And harder still, perhaps, it invites us into, as Francis Weller says, some strange intimacy between grief and aliveness, some sacred exchange between what seems unbearable and what is most exquisitely alive. Through this, he says, I have come to have a lasting faith in grief. The world as we knew it is finished. So many worlds finished. So to feel sad and lost and anxious is the sane response celebrating Easter now for the second time in this COVID world. To feel the burn of promises that cannot be fulfilled is not something to ignore. So in this world finished time, while resurrection is being sung, don't be ashamed to mourn, to lament. That's how the Easter story has always begun. And we know what happens when danger and recklessness and cruelty are denied. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I had to relearn and learn how to reclaim. There is more than lament in this story, and there is more than loss. The Easter story, our story, there is a whisper, God only knows where it comes from, somewhere deep and always surprising, suggesting, encouraging, requiring this something that says, rise again. Which is not, let's be clear, a return or a reversal, but it is, however, an invitation and a path cleared and a pull into life again. When I wanted to close the door to this possibility, when the body of my beloved, of my teacher, of my child, my young friend was taken, I have to tell you, like the Marys taking one step forward at a time from the bottom of the hill to the tomb where I felt I also was, you and others in our village with your balms and your salve and your willingness to stay your spirit on our wounds, you were the miracle that made life again not only something possible, but wanted. And it's not just this acute loss. It's not just my loss. The way you have proven to one another time and again that change, loss, death of whatever kind, that it doesn't have the final say, you have said, rise again. We will rise again. We see that by your presence on these little Zoom screens every single week, still choosing connections, still choosing life that is for and with one another, creative and persistent. We mark this truth with a year of virtual singing, a yes to beauty, to community, to learning. We know death does not have the final say, because in each bellow of despair ringing out, we have heard someone else join in, insisting that we are not alone. So whatever you bring into this Easter Sunday, whomever or however much you've lost, if you come tenderly or with a rage that could burn down the last of our oxygen, let your trembling, mystified lips form the words before you even understand what they might mean, and simply hear yourself, feel yourself say, "Rise again." Throw your ascent and your treasure and your labor to the call when it comes. Imagine, dream up the intimacy of aliveness that might already be mingling in your grief, and faithfully hear yourself say, "Rise again." We don't need to make metaphor of this story. We don't need to soften its truths. Within it is the softness of the body, the fragility of the flesh, the spiritually guttural want for more time with loved ones and for our own lives. If you want to throw in a bunny and some flowers and a gorgeous bonnet, you should do that. Do that too, but do not shy from the depths of truth, the deep spaces of sorrow that is the mirror of love, these truths that the biblical account invites us into. It is a want for life that I call love that will meet you there, whispering, pleading, reaching for you to rise again, pleading, reaching out toward another, rise again. Easter is about us. I have faith in this. May you also. Hallelujah and amen.
Coretta Scott King, wife of Martin Luther King Jr., said, "The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members." And that is one of the main reasons that I continue to come to UUC-WC every week. We are a community that feeds each other, loves each other, and accepts one another regardless of our differences. We are also a community that gives 50% of its weekly financial affirmations to social action efforts, such as the Equal Justice Initiative. The Equal Justice Initiative is committed to ending mass incarceration and excessive punishment in the United States, to challenging racial and economic injustice, and to protecting basic human rights for the most vulnerable people in American society. They provide legal representation to indigent defendants and prisoners who have been denied fair and just treatment in the legal system. And they have won major legal challenges, eliminating excessive and unfair sentencing, exonerating innocent death row prisoners, confronting the abuse of incarcerated and the mentally ill, and aiding children persecuted as adults. We acknowledge the enthusiasm and generosity of UUCWC members who have donated to our annual spring auction. You will be able to bid on items starting on May 1st. For the third year, a portion of the proceeds will go to support local social action organizations. This year's portion will be donated to the Bucks County Opportunity Council, a nonprofit dedicated to reducing poverty and promoting economic self-sufficiency while serving as the county's lead food agency for families. Kindly remember to identify what your pledge is for when you are using PayPal or sending a check directly to the church. And as always, your generosity is greatly appreciated.
away the stone of your hesitant heart. Let the light shine on all the sleeping shadows. Awaken to this day that offers itself to you and to all with great extravagance. Awaken to this gift, this beauty, this chance that we might still begin again and anew, that we might be changed by the in and out of breath, that we might still burst forth like the crocuses, that we might still surprise this earth with a new song sung together, calling us all in and then sending us back out. And know it all as a blessing. Roll away the stone of your hesitant heart. I'm sending you love. I am wishing you health. This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please, if you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice without the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.